Praise God. God is good. He's good all the time. I'm going to give those children just a minute to make their ways back to their classes. God is so good. I want to tell you that if you came in here troubled this morning, God is still good. If you came in here and you're happy today, I want to tell you that yet again, Misty Rose, God is still good. If you came in here with a problem and you say, God, I need you to come through, I want you to rest assured that God knows how to get you through. He knows how to get you on the other side. I want you to remember in the Bible where it says that Jesus said, now look here, let us cross over to the other side. You're getting on the other side of your battle. I don't want you to get discouraged and give up. I want you to know that God is still God and He's still on the throne. God is still perfecting the thing that has got you so concerned. God is still the God of miracles. God is still the God of blessing. God is still the God that will put your family right back together when the devil told you it was going to an end. Now I want to tell you something. The way that we minister in this church is we just keep it real. I grew up in church. And I loved every part of that childhood, but let me tell you something, you don't fake it till you make it, baby. You keep it real. You keep it real. Faking's going to get you very confused. It's going to get you confused. Now, I have a question I wanted to ask you today. Do you have a family member and you say, God, I'm concerned. God, I'm concerned. See, I feel like never before family is on God's heart. There, God wants to draw families back together. You got a family member and you say, God, I'm concerned. I want you to stand up because we're going to give God what one of the few things, Rosie, that we can give Him. You know what it is? Praise. Praise. You know what? This is not a spectator sport. This is the house of God. We do not dance around certain scenarios and subjects. We'll address them head on because that's exactly what Jesus did. It's exactly what Jesus did. See, when you have family, family gets you concerned. God knows exactly what He's going to do in your family. I'm going to ask you to do one of the hardest things that you can do. I'm going to ask you to lift up your hands and begin to give that family to Jesus. There's so many things over the course of the week that the devil tries to get you to take that family back into your hands. I'm going to ask you right now, lift them hands up and begin to pray. God, in Jesus' name, God, all over the building, God, You said in Your Word that whatever we bound on earth, God, would be bound in heaven. Whatever we loosed on earth would be loosed in heaven. Right now, in Jesus' name, Lord, I loose unity in this place. God, I loose unity in this town. In Jesus' name, God, I thank You that the blinders are taken off of every eye right here in Jesus' name. God, I thank You that the spirit of confusion is being bound up in here right now, and we're casting it out. I take authority, God, that You gave me in Your Word, and I tell You, God, that You're welcome here. Holy Spirit, You're welcome to have Your way, God, in this place right now. I loose healing to come up and down each and every single aisle in Jesus' name. Lord, I cast out fear in the name of Jesus. I cast out depression and worry and anxiety and stress. Lord, You said in Your Word, by Your stripes we are healed. And God, right now, if you need a healing, I'm going to tell you to take it right now in Jesus' name. God, I thank You for what You're going to do in this service. Lord, have Your way. Have Your way right now in Jesus' name. Y'all may be seated. I'm going to minister on a subject. You know, I don't know what other preachers do, and I really don't care what they do. I got enough problems besides worrying about everybody else. I ain't in competition, and I ain't concerned with what everybody else is doing. I got enough just to keep up with Kelly May. Y'all don't know what I'm talking about? That's my middle name. Kelly May Beatrice Florence Deano Kitson. I take it all. Anyhow, I preach out of the overflow of what's going on in my life. You know why? Because, see, that's what I can preach on really good, is what God's doing in my life. Now, along with the flavor of this service. We're just going to keep it real. How many of y'all can just keep it real in here this morning? Now, what you just agreed to, let me tell it to you, is to not become offended when I just preach the truth. That's called keeping it real. I was going throughout my week this week, and I try very, very hard to not offend people. So when it came across my ears that I had offended somebody, I thought, and I want to preach this morning about offenses because they have no place in your life. They have no place in your life. I want to preach this morning about offenses because they have no place in your life. Child of God, I want to tell you, offenses, they don't have a place in your life. If you're living in an offense, you're wrong. If you're living in an offense, you're wrong. You're not going to get me over here dancing around telling y'all you're wrong. I ain't going to do it. Number one, I have no rhythm. Number two, the moment I do that, God's done with me. There's still some things I'd like to do for the Lord. So we're going to just keep it real. I heard somebody had gotten offended about me, about something I did. And let's talk about offenses. At the very heart of offenses, let's talk about it. The number one thing that I wanted to do when I heard it was what we all do. I wanted to defend myself. Number one. When you ask Jesus into your heart, he said, I'll be your defender. I'll be your defender. I'll take care of you. I'll never leave you. I'll never forsake you. When you figure out somebody has become offended at you, what you want to do is you want to defend what they're offended at. 1 plus 1 is going to always equal 2. You want to defend what they're offended about. And at first I wanted to defend myself. And then I quickly went from that to what we all do after that phase, which is, number two, and then I wanted to be offended at them because they was offended at me. Anybody else ever done that, or I'm just the only crazy one? Thank you. This is called keeping it real. When we get offenses and when there's offenses made, what we want to do is we want to defend ourselves, and that usually never works. And thank you, Brother Donnie. And then we want to shift very quickly from that to being offended at them because they was offended at us. Now, I believe that we have to prepare and teach people from the ground up. What I've seen is that ministry sometimes thinks that everybody knows as much as the pastor knows or knows as much as the oldest person in the church. I don't know who that is, and I'm not going to call any names. It's not Brother Charles, is it? Look here, I do not want to offend Brother Charles. Me and him have been in this a long time together. But I want to talk to you about offenses this morning because they have no place in your life. So if you'll turn with me to Ecclesiastes chapter 7, we're going to start at verse 21. See, if the devil can get you offended, you're going to get some hindering going on up in your prayer life. The devil can get you riled up. That's exactly what he'll do. So we're looking here at Ecclesiastes chapter 7, and we're going to start at verse 21. And I want you to begin to open up that heart because, see, God's about to sprinkle his word on your heart. And what you need to do is let it fall on good ground. Are you good ground today to receive the word of God? Because if you are, you're going to be able to apply it to your life and it's going to begin to change you. Because it ain't just the pastor that has problems being offended at folks. Praise the Lord. It's everybody. That's why we're ministering on it today. Because being offended and offending other people, see, that doesn't have a place in your life. That's just the aftermath of what the devil likes to slip in there into you. So Ecclesiastes chapter 7 and verse 21, and it says, do not pay attention to every word people say. Do not pay attention to every word that people say. I'm going to say it again because some of y'all have been paying way too much attention to what everybody else has to say. Do not pay attention to every word that people have to say. You're going to live in a very closed-in world when you begin to listen to all of your critics. Look here. That's why they call them critics. They ain't going to have nothing nice to say. That's okay. Why? Why is that okay, Pastor Kelly? Because you're going to stop listening to them. You're going to stop giving them your ear. Stop listening to everything that everybody has to say about you. Why? Because most humans have a problem, and let me tell you what that problem is. We feel the need to be validated. We feel the need to be accepted and validated and agreed with. I love when people agree with me. I'm like, man, I know I'm right. Even when I'm wrong. Ask Jeremy. You're going to only get your validation from Jesus. He's the only one that can give you that thing that you feel like you need so bad. Okay? So, when you found yourself in an offense or you offended somebody, look here, stop paying attention to every single word. Don't pay attention to every word people have to say about you. Because you're going to turn that into internalizing that in you, and it's going to ruin you. It's going to make you to where all you do is meditate on that day and night. Don't give that thing life. Don't pump breath into that word that was said over you. No, you let that thing lay on the ground and die what it's supposed to be doing. Don't you be pumping and giving CPR to them words that people done said. Let it go. Why? Because if a root of bitterness gets up in there, you're going to have a problem. You're going to have a problem that you're going to have to wrestle to the ground. How many of y'all got enough problems? Praise the Lord, me too. How many you think, I just need some more problems? You guys is all smart in here today. You don't need no more problems. I don't need no more problems. That's why we're going to start handling offenses a little better. Amen? So it says, do not pay attention to every word that people say. Because here's the thing about us. We fickle. We so fickle and we're full of it. How many of you know you're full of it? Sometimes, Crystal, I lay back in Jeremy's recliner and I start thinking about all the crazy stuff, Brother Albie, that I get myself into. And I'll have an opinion about something, and by nightfall, I'm calling Daddy, and I'm going, yeah, my opinion's just changed about that. I've had this opinion all day, but look here. I'm a woman, and I reserve the right to change my opinion, and I just did. We fickle. We very fickle. It says, don't pay attention to every word that's being said about you, or you may hear your servant cursing you. Don't pay attention to every word that you hear about yourself. Or you're going to eventually overhear somebody talking smack about you. Anybody ever had that experience? You walk into somewhere and there's somebody and they're talking smack about you. And you just walked up in there and busted them. How uncomfortable was that? Did you get offended at them? That's usually about the scenario where I really make a point. Don't pay attention to every word that you hear people say, because at some point you're going to walk in on maybe one of your very close friends and you just heard them say something negative about you. Somebody that should be loving you, you done figured out they said something bad about you. You know what I instantly thought, Rosie? I thought, I've done so much stuff for them people. How dare them? I got a little self-righteous. Why am I talking about my problem? Because, see, if I can admit it and I can preach about it, God's going to help me. God said, Kelly, look around. Look what I've done for everybody. Quit being a pouty girl and get up and put your big girl pants on and realize it don't matter what you've done. They still offended. And guess what? You reach out again and you get them unoffended. Man, I don't like to get people unoffended at me because that's going to cost me some humility. I don't like that. The jerks, they done got offended at me. What do you mean I got to go unoffend them? They're the one with the problem. Stop paying attention to what everybody's got to say because you're going to hear something bad being said about you and you're going to have to get over it. Yep, I said it. You're going to have to get over it, and it ain't easy. Verse 22. Boy, ain't this the truth. For you know in your heart that you yourself many times have cursed others. Isn't it funny how we will be the judge of everything that we do? Get it? We're judging somebody else, and in our heart of hearts, we know we've done the same thing. You ever realize, man, there's times, Michelle, I can't get away with that as much as I used to, because that spirit of conviction will get all over me. There are times, and I still do it, there are times where I'm judging somebody or I'm thinking a mean thought, and God's going, you are being a hypocrite right now because you just did that same thing, Kelly. Like 2 hours ago, you did that same thing. We like to work in levels. Well, I'm not as bad as Sally Sue. She did this, and I only did this. Well, it's still wrong. I'm sorry you didn't screw up as bad as Sally Sue, but you still screwed up. Let's keep it right. Let's keep it right. Let's keep it real. We know ourselves in our heart. The problem is this right here. Be careful. Because of all things, your heart is deceitful, and above all things, who can know it? Who can know it? See, you need to get in that place in your heart where you say, you know what, God, I know in my heart that I'm wrong. God, I know in my heart I'm offended. God, I know in my heart I've offended somebody else. And then when you can get to this point, you're going to be on your way. God, I know in my heart the thing that I did. I was sinning against you, and you're the only thing, you're the only person that's never done anything bad to me. Some of us walking around and we offended at God. God, why did you let this happen? God, why did you do this? God, why did you do that? I let somebody come up in here the other day and get a bunch of food. And they begin to tell me every reason why they was mad at God. And you know what I did? I said, baby girl, get you some more grapes and sit down. I want to minister to you. God is still God. God didn't do that to you. And you're making up excuses to lay out of his house. And God won't be taking excuses on judgment day. Now get a couple more grapes because I want to keep on talking to you. See? People think that the grocery food is just for the saints. No, I want the biggest sinners to come up in here and get some grapes because I want to tell them about Jesus and get them to quit making up excuses and being offended at God because God's the only one that ain't never done nothing to any of us. So lesson number one about offenses. Stop listening to everything you hear about yourself. You're gonna tell yourself a new one if you keep doing that. It ain't good for you. And keep it real with yourself. In your heart of hearts, you know you've done the same thing that you're offended at them about. Many times. Many times I'm the biggest hypocrite I know. I don't have shame saying that. Why? Because I've gotten comfortable just keeping it real. Next verse for me, Luke chapter 6 and verse 27. Are we hot in here or cold today? People on this side, are you hot? Y'all put your thumbs up. I can't read lips anymore because you got them covered. Anybody really hot? Raise your hand. You need another jacket. Tony, are you slacking? You were supposed to give her another jacket. We're going to find you something. We're going to find you a shawl or something. Somebody find this woman a shawl. It's right there. That's the community shawl. See, I'm trying to keep everybody happy. If I pick out the wrong color of this carpet, somebody's going to get offended about that. Guess what? It hadn't stopped me from picking out colors of the church. Because at the end of the day, I think I'm in this church more than anybody, so I'm going to make sure I like it. Praise God. I come here more than anybody. I better like it. I hope y'all do, but I know I do. How many of you like what your church is looking like? Well, good. I'm so happy. Thank you. Luke chapter 6, verse 27, and we're talking about offenses this morning. Why are we talking about this? Have you been offended at anybody this past week? Raise your hand. Let me get to meddling really good, because I hope other people are doing this just besides me. This corona, I think, has made people really nuts, because there have been times where I've been sitting in my car or sitting in my house, and I will just conjure something up while I'm offended at somebody. Anybody else done that? I'm like, man, I think she looked at me wrong. She did. There was no emojis in their text back. How dare them? Can you see the world that we're living in? We're so touchy-feely about everything. If you've gotten unfriended, let me tell you why, because you had a difference in opinion about Donald Trump. How many of you know you don't got to agree with everything that your leaders do? How many of you know you still need to lift them up in prayer? How many of you know they got a very hard job and they don't need backbiting going on? Praise God. Luke chapter 6, we're going to start at verse 27. But I tell you who hear me. I tell you who hear me. I want y'all to begin to listen instead of just hearing. There's a difference. You can hear something. You ever heard something? You had no idea what was being said. My husband's in the back. I do this all the time. He was telling me something last night. He said, I need to go to Walmart to get blah, 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 blah. I was acting like I was hearing him. We went up into Walmart. He's like, go get what I told you to get. And I'm like, what was that again? Honey, baby, what did you say you needed? I'm trying to be such a good wife. I realize Jeremy's just the best guy ever. I'm trying to be softer and sweeter. Baby, what did you say you wanted from Walmart? I wasn't going to tell him. I wasn't listening to a darn word he said. You just tell me. I'm going to go get you three of them. What is it? You keep these kids home. They don't like them in Walmart. I don't either. They know I'm the pushover. Mama, can we have this? Yeah, baby. Can. But I tell you who hear me. So I want you to begin to hear, to listen, to soak in what God's telling you in your life. Love your enemies. Love your enemies. It's the hardest thing you're going to have to do. Love them. Love them. Love them. The people that have hurt you so deeply, you don't think you'll ever get over what they did, love them. Why am I saying this? Because if you can become a doer of the word, God's going to help you with what you're going through. People like to take the word of God and they like to do what we do at buffets. They just like to pick and choose. You're not going to ever pick and choose what you want to do out of God's word. You either in or you out. You either in or you out. The problem in today's world is we got people claiming to be believers and they really on the outs. Now that didn't just score me any brownie points, but look here. It is what it is. You got to love your enemies. Why? Because God wants to move. God wants to move. He can't move. God cannot move out of hatred. He can't. It's not biblical. He became sin who knew no sin. That right there gave Jesus the golden ticket to say, you better forgive your enemies if you want me to move in your life. He ain't going to tell you to do something easy because he didn't do something easy. Love your enemies. Do good to those who hate you. How many of you got any haters? Praise God for some honest folks in here this morning. Love them and do good to them people that hate your guts. Lord, are you really in this? This seems like it's twisted. What? Bless those who curse you. 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 Why am I repeating this? Because the next time that somebody curses you, the next time that somebody's mean to you, the next time somebody does you wrong, the next time somebody cheats you or cheats on you or does something awful to you, I want you to line yourself up with the Word of God because God wants to move in your life, but you better get yourself positioned that He can do so. Bless those who curse you. Pray for those who mistreat you. Pray for those people that have mistreated you. You've been mistreated here lately? Not up in here. I mean in general. Anybody been mistreated? Really makes you unhappy, don't it? Nobody likes to be mistreated. We don't like that. What do we do with people that mistreat us? You pray for them. You pray for them. You know how many times, you know how many times I've been having to just pray and shut up, Mikey? A lot here lately. God, in Jesus' name, you said in your word that the fervent, effectual prayer of a righteous man, it availeth much. It holds its own self up. So God, in the name of Jesus, Lord, you know the people that I'm trying to overlook an offense. God, you know the people that have mistreated me. You know the people that have mistreated Paris Christian Center. And God, in Jesus' name, God, I'm asking that you bless them. God, I'm asking right now that you'd move in their life. God, if they're sick, I'm asking that you'd bind up their wounds. God, I ask right now, Lord, that you'd give them a promotion. God, I ask that you'd give them a raise. God, I ask that you'd heal their family. God, I ask that you put their family back together. Why do we got to do this? Because, Kayla, we are real Christians. Anybody can say anything that they want to say, but by golly, when God looks down and he said, now that one there, they're doing what I told them to do, and it ain't easy. God's going to come up into there, and before you know it, see, God's going to just make everybody look at you and say, now that right there, that's the glory of God right there. Who can pray for their enemy? I don't like to do that. I'm going to keep it very real. I hate praying for my enemies, sis. Why? Because there's a part of me that wants me to see them suffer. And I know that's twisted. I didn't never tell y'all I was right. Well, I mean, you know, I'm not all there. I still got that flesh side where just a little bit. I'm going, God, are they getting what's theirs? Come, Kelly, you better shut up. They're about to get what's you. Well, you're about to get it. You better stop it. How hard can you pray for your enemy? How hard can you just sit there and turn the other cheek? I'm not asking you to do something that's easy today. I'm asking you to do something that's probably the hardest thing anybody can ever do. How bad do you need that breakthrough? How bad did you need God to step into the situation? Well, let's reevaluate. You ever get in a situation you think you had your mind up on how you was going to act, and then God said, no, I'm not going to let you get away with that? Okay.
God, I guess I'm going to try to act right. I'll pray. God, help them. Is that good enough? No. Okay. Look here. You go to praying for your enemy, and I tell you what's going to happen. God's going to begin to break up that hard ground in your life, and you'll be in the middle of praying for him. And here's something that we need to take a note of. How many of you know who Stephen is in the Bible? Okay, the rest of everybody, we need to get in that Bible a little bit more. Stephen is the first martyr in the Bible. One of his last words, Mama, that was recorded is he said this right here. See, he died all in the name of his beliefs in Jesus Christ. Why? Because look here, you may have to die for what you believe in. I die every day for what I believe in. Every time I don't turn around and say something to people that cussing me out, I die just a little bit more. You're going to have to die a little bit. You want God's best. But as Stephen, the first martyr in the Bible, as he was dying, this is what he said to the people that were stoning him, all the people that were hypocrites and they were stoning him. He said, God, don't hold it against them. Don't hold it against them. I've been through situations in my life and I thought, God, yeah, I want them to suffer because I have suffered at the hand of them. Now, Alex Copperfield did me much harm. God will repay. Read your Bible. You'll know what I'm talking about. This life that we live in is not easy. We acquire enemies in it. I wish I could tell you it was all tulips and roses. It ain't. We're keeping it real today. Guess what it is? You can still have a very blessed life. Do the Word of God. When you get down to that part where you have the opportunity to curse them just like they've cursed you, and they getting theirs, they getting theirs, and you getting some weird sick enjoyment about it, I want you to change the story right there, and I want you to say, God, don't hold what they did against me, or don't hold what they did to me against them. I've had to forgive people, and Albie, I've had to say, God, if they're paying because of me, don't hold it against them. Can you come to that place today where you say, God, if somebody's suffering and they're reaping what they've sown because of what they did to me, don't hold it against them. You big enough for that? Your britches big enough to be that person? It's what it takes. It's what it takes. So it says, bless those who curse you and pray for those who mistreat you. If someone strikes you on the cheek, turn to him the other cheek. If someone takes your cloak, do not stop him from taking your tunic. I used to say, ain't nobody taking my tunic. Give to everyone who asks you, and if anyone takes what belongs to you, do not demand it back. Do to others as you would have them to do to you. I know we're living in the last days because very few people are doing that. Doing unto others as they would have them to be done to them. If you love those who love you, what credit is that? See, if you're doing the same thing that the world is doing, everybody can love people that love them. Can you love somebody that doesn't love you back? Can you love somebody that's hurt you? Can you turn that page and pray for them when they don't deserve it? Can you give them grace when they didn't give you grace? Can you give them mercy when they didn't give you mercy? Even sinners love those who love them. And if you do good to those who are good to you, what credit is that to you? Everybody can do that. Everybody is good to people that are good to them. We're going to go deeper this morning. I'm asking us to turn a page. Don't live up in an offense. Don't live up under the devil getting one over you. You align yourself to be, you position yourself to get the best out of what God has for you in this life. What is that? It starts with getting that offense in line with the Word of God. And when I heard somebody was offended at me, I just was straight up offended at them. How dare them? Just keeping it real. It says, and if you do good to those who are good to you, what credit is that to you? Even sinners do that. And if you lend to those whom you expect repayment, what credit is that to you? Even sinners lend to sinners, expecting to be repaid in full. But love your enemies and do good to them. Love your enemies and do good to them. And lend to them without expecting anything back. Without expecting anything back. And here's our problem in the world today. Is when we do things, many times when we're doing the thing that God told us to do, sometimes God will tell you to apologize to somebody and you say, well, I wasn't in the wrong. Yeah, well, he didn't say you was. Get to apologizing. Did he tell you to apologize? Many times when we get to a point we are expecting something back. Many times we are disappointed because we didn't get whatever we thought we was going to get out of that. Have you ever apologized to somebody and you thought, I did not do a darn thing to them, but God's telling me to apologize, so here we go. Okay, Sally Sue, I am very sorry. Blah, 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 blah. Sue goes, well, okay. And we're just as more offended at Sally Sue than we're more offended at her than when we started off. Because we was expecting to get something back. Because we think, well, normal people are like, well, I'm sorry too, or I'm this, or I'm that. Look here. We got to stop expecting some things back. Because look here. When you're doing the right thing, that doesn't mean other people are going to do the right thing. Stop expecting that back. Just do the right thing on your end. When you get up to heaven, God ain't going to say, now, you're going to take the licks for Sally Sue, Curly Sue, and Minnie, Miney, Mo. No, you're going to take yours, and that's all you're taking. So it don't matter if you got back out of that situation what you thought that you deserved. You do your part. You do your part and stop expecting something back. Does not matter. Does not matter. Matters what you did. Matters what you did. Did you do what God told you to do? Then let it rest. Then let it rest. Don't expect nothing back on that end. Expect when you can do what you were told to do, Michelle. And people don't act right. And they don't do what we expected them to do. I'm going to tell you, when you can say that in your life, you can expect something from God. You can expect something from God. So many times people let us down. They frustrate us. They betrayed us. They this and they that. See, we tell it all to God, and God's saying, you know what? If you can just stop expecting something from them and start expecting something from me, that's going to be your best bet, because I'll always come through. I have a perfect track record. If you'll stop expecting something out of them that you know you ain't going to get, start expecting something from me. Start saying, God, I did what you said. God, I'm looking right now. I'm looking right now. You know how many times that I've, right before I've got up and talked and ministered in a service, this is what I've said, Rosie. I've said, God, I'm so concerned about people in my own flesh and blood family. God, I'm going to feed your sheep, because God, I know when I get up there and I begin to minister to people that come up in here, I know, God, that you're sending the angels of the Most High God. You're sending them to my family. God, I know you're sending them there. So, God, I'm going to get up here like a big girl, and I'm going to feed them sheep, because, angels, I want you to go minister to the people in my family think they're going to act up and act out. Do pastors have problems in their family? Yes, they do. We got more problems than everybody else. We just got to learn how to get them people on speed dial that talk us off them ledges when we get crazy. I've got a couple people. Yeah, I'm on that ledge again. You need to talk me off in a real big hurry because I'm about to show out. Let's keep it real. Let's go on. But love your enemies and do good to them and lend to them without expecting to get anything back. Then your reward will be great, and you will be sons of the Most High God. See, look here. Jesus died for your sin. He became your sin. Why did he do that? So you could be called a son or a daughter of God. So you could go to heaven. Before this, there was no way. There was no way any of us was going to go to heaven because everything was so, if you do this ever in your life, you're going to hell if you do this. Look here. There was no way any of us was making it up there without Jesus coming down and being crucified. We's all in trouble. Says, then your reward will be great and you will be sons of the Most High because he is kind. He is kind to the ungrateful. Yeah, we just read that. I'm going to read it again if I can find my place. He is kind to the ungrateful and the wicked. Have you ever seen God be kind to the ungrateful and the wicked? Kind of make you salty. Sometimes I'm like, God, why are you being good to them? You know what they did. He's saying, Kelly, I know what they did, and I know you're still messed up about it, but get over that offense. Get over that offense. It's holding you up. It's holding you up. Be merciful just as your Father is merciful. You know what Stephen said in the very end? He said, God, don't hold this against them. God, don't hold it against them, what they done to me. Don't hold it against them. Get to that point where you can say about that person that's hurt you so bad, God, don't hold it against them. God, don't hold it against them. God, help them. God, bless them. God, let them be able to sleep at night. God, talk to them. See, what we think is we really think we want our enemies to pay. No, what we really want is for them to know Jesus. You get your enemy and you pray for them and they get to know Jesus. They ain't going to be your enemy. At that point, they become your brothers and sisters in the Lord. If you don't like them here on earth, God, you make it. Got to make them your next door neighbor up in heaven, so you best get that right. I've lived through that. My ex was my neighbor for 8 years. Be careful how you treat other people. Because God will get you in a point where you face-to-face with them on a regular basis. That ain't no fun. Last place for me, Romans chapter 12. We're talking today about offenses. They have no place in your life. They have no place in your life. Romans chapter 12, verse 17. Do not repay anyone evil for evil. Do not repay. Do not repay. Do not repay. It is not your job to repay. It is not your job to repay. So many times we get into places in our lives where we think, God, why is this area of my life so messed up? Because you put yourself in the place of God where you feel like you're able to do God's job and you ain't. Do not repay evil for evil. Do not repay. Do not repay. Why am I saying it over and over? Because there's some people up here going to hear this message. They're hearing it now. And you can't stop thinking about repaying them for what they did to you. And I'm here to tell you right now, you ain't going to win with that. You either in it to win it or you're going to be losing. What do you want to do? Do you want to win? Do you want victory? Or you want to be like everybody else? Because see, that's your two options. You're going to win. You're going to have victory. Or you're going to be like everybody else in a sad state of mind. Because they still thinking they're going to be repaying. No, vengeance is mine, saith the Lord. I'm going to repay. God's the one that repays. Because look here. God don't trust us with that repaying job. Because if we did, we'd all be blasted up out of here. If God left us in charge, one day you can repay everybody for everything they did. There would be nobody on the place of the planet. We'd all be blasted. God knows we're crazy. He ain't going to give us that job. We can't even be trusted with that job. We can't even be trusted in our thought life to not get crazy. There's no way he's giving us that job to repay. So Romans chapter 12, verse 17. Do not repay anyone for evil. Anyone. Anyone. We all have those people. Okay, I'm not going to repay them, but this one over here, this one's mine, I'm going to repay them. No, you're not. Oh, you're not. Again, don't dissect the Word of God and make it what you want. No, you're not going to repay them either. Crazy. Be careful to do what is right in the eyes of everybody. If it is possible, as far as it depends on you. Here's what, if you don't hear anything else that this hot-headed pastor had to say today, I want you to hear this and I want you to soak it in. God, in Jesus' name, God, right now, as I start to finish this message, God, I thank you right now that this part has fallen on the ground that you wanted it to fall on. God, they put this into action right now in Jesus' name. If it is possible, as far as it depends on you, as far as it depends on you, as far as it depends on you, live at peace with everybody. Live at peace with everybody. As far as it depends on you. How many times has it depended on you and you didn't do what you were supposed to do? You were supposed to live at peace and instead you stirred it up. As far as it depends on you. There's times, Brother Mike, the situation depends on you. Why? Because you God's only hope that somebody in the situation going to do right. Sometimes we're the only person in the situation, and even that's iffy. Sometimes God's like, do right. We're like, I didn't wake up today feeling like doing right. Well, as far as it depends on you, live at peace with everyone. Why? You're going to position yourself for God to move. Don't scratch your head wondering why God ain't moved. When you ain't living with peace, you ain't even trying to live at peace. Do not take revenge, my friends. Do not take revenge. Sometimes when we get those offenses and they've been in there a long time, we want to repay and we want to make up for lost time. God's saying that doesn't have any place in your life. Do not take revenge, my friends, but leave room for God's wrath. See, your wrath ain't nothing compared to God's wrath. When we snuff somebody out, God's saying, no, I'm going to save them instead. Leave room for the wrath of God. Leave room for God to deal with that person. You going to deal with them or God's going to deal with them? What do you want? Who do you want to deal with them? There's a good chance if you'll let God deal with them, you ain't going to have that problem no more. You ever notice how when we put a Band-Aid on something and we think we handled it, it keeps coming up? Donnie, there are things God's saying, Don, man, let me handle them. Let me handle them. You give them to me and you back up. I'm going to handle them. We all got people in our lives. We offended at, we mad at, they hurt us. Back up. Back up. Pray for them. Back up some more. Pray for them. Back up some more. Don't be repaying. That ain't your place. Leave room. How do you leave room for God's wrath? You back up. You back up. You're making some room. Look here. Some of us, we need to really just back the heck up and be like, oh, we're going to leave some room for some wrath. Back up. For it is written, it is mine to avenge, and I will repay, says the Lord. And on the contrary, if your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he is thirsty, give him something to drink. What is this saying? Be good to your enemies. Be good to the people that hurt you. Pray for them. Don't try to repay them. You could never. You could never repay them. You wouldn't even know how. Because only God truly knows. In doing this, you will heap burning coals on their heads. Do not be overcome, but overcome evil with good. What God's asking people in here to do today is to turn a leaf and say, God, I want to overcome this. I want to overcome it. God, I don't want to be offended anymore. God, I don't want to have that feeling in my heart anymore. God, I want to turn this page. God, I want to get over an offense. God, I want to get over a thing that I've been messed up about. God, I want to give you some room. See, if I preached this message today and it fell on ground that said I needed that message, I want you to stand. Because, see, this is a turning point in your life. This is a place where God wants to move. If the pastor can be offended, so can everybody else. The pastor will have the guts enough to talk about it. We can all talk about it. What are we standing for? We're standing, we're going to lift our hands because, see, God's about to take some things out. The Lord giveth and the Lord taketh, and blessed be the name of the Lord. God, in Jesus' name, Lord, all over the place, God, I plead the blood of Jesus over every heart. I plead the blood of Jesus over every mind right now in Jesus' name. God, I ask right now, I speak to those offenses. I ask that you take your hand, God, and get them out of us. Pull those offenses out. God, for the people that we have offended, God, give us an opportunity to make it right. Lord God, I ask you right now for the people that I have offended. God, I ask that you'd give me an opportunity to make it right. Lord, we thank you for this. You are the author and you are the finisher of our faith. God, we thank you right now for moving on our behalf. We give you, God, all the praise, all the glory. In Jesus' name, amen. There is produce in the back for everyone. Y'all can grab a box. There's so much stuff, salad, all sorts of stuff.